joining our show today.
Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men and women, and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, as well as uplift them and provide them with a new life and with a new perspective of a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was molested from the age of 7 to 12 by my biological father, then raped by my biological father and my stepfather from the age of 13 to 18. My ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help women, men, and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today? And I keep doing that every week, and I know I should pay attention to that. You are live now. How are you doing?
I am good. What about yourself?
I'm good. Getting ready for a very, very, very busy weekend. But I'll get into that more after we go over our fundraising events.
Okay, we currently have our Clover Plus Rewards part. So if you currently have a Clover Plus Reward, or if you will go and get a Clover Plus Reward, and you connect it to We Are Survivors by going to Clover.com and type in We Are, and it should pull up We Are Survivors. Or if you need assistance, text 817-320-2571 or call me. I will assist you with that. We also do the Tom Thumb Reward. So if you go to TomThumb.com and connect it to We Are Survivors, the same thing. When you shop each quarter, you're not doing anything different. Just continue to shop. According to how much you spend, they will send us a donation. So you're not doing anything different, just according to how much you spend, they will send us a donation. We also do the CPN discount part. So
we lost her. So she was talking about the CPN card, which is a discount card, and also we have a, which is a $15 annual charge. And then we also have a Compass Bank card, and that code is 113631. With that code, if you go to Compass Bank and whether you have an account and or if you open up an account, if you do that, then they will link it to We Are Survivors, and whatever that you normally buy and purchase for everyday living, a percentage of that will go to We Are Survivors. So that's just another way to actually help We Are Survivors without spending any additional monies or actually having to come out of pocket or go to the store and buy some products to donate. You just go on, get gas, go out to eat, whatever it is that you choose to do, then, like I said, a portion of those proceeds will go to We Are Survivors. We also have a project called the Purple City Project, which is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign. And in October, actually, it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month that is coming up in about a couple of days. We will have today and tomorrow, then Saturday is October 1st, which is my birthday month. But back to the fundraising. We will book, well, the photographer, which his name is Charles, a.k.a. City, will book either a personal or professional photo shoot. And he has four different packages, but the top two is like the $55 package valued at $100. And it's a 20-minute session up to four people, unlimited shots, and one look, which means two pictures. Hi, Stephanie. Glad you could join us. I know your phone dropped. Mm-hmm. We're going now over the photo shoot. I went ahead and finished your portion.
Okay.
Then we have the $80 package, which is valued at $160. It's a 45-minute session up to four people, unlimited shots, two pictures, and four edits, which means you get to pick four pictures for each individual, and that's your take-home package. And if you get four people, you can divide, you know, four into 80, $20 a piece. And like I said, next month is October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And all the month of October, we will be doing just kind of like tidbits of information regarding domestic violence, just information that you would need to know, information that's important, information that we hope you retain. I received a phone call from a police officer Tuesday of this young lady that, and Stephanie, I think I shared this with you. I did or did not, I don't remember. But there has been a new facility that's opened up in Fort Worth. Did I tell you that?
Nope.
Okay. I found out, I guess it was last week, that there is a brand new facility that has opened up in Fort Worth. It was opened up by the MAVS, M-A-V-S, yes, the Mavericks, the MAVS Foundation. And there's a $12.8 million facility. This facility is for abused men, women, and children. So I did contact them, because I did have to refer someone there. And the police officer that I was talking to wanted to know, well, you know, normally when it's Dallas County and Tarrant County, you have to be a resident of that county. But when I called this facility in Fort Worth, it did not matter. All you needed was a driver's license. I was ecstatic about that.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yes. Now we have a facility to refer people to, and I'm really, really happy about that. That's some good news. Some good news, but bad news, because the bad news is we have to refer people there, but the good news is it's a brand-new facility, so right now there's availability. That's what's important. So I did want to drop that, I guess. I'm trying to think. Maybe, let me find it, because I know, so I just talked to them. Let's see. The phone number for the facility in Fort Worth, just in case anyone gets a phone call or someone needs help. If you've heard this broadcast, at least you'll have that number to call. And it's 817-339-2553. Again, that's 817-339-2553. And that's the facility in Fort Worth that just opened for domestic violence survivors and victims. They do service Dallas County residents. They don't only just serve Tarrant County. That is major. You all, that is really major. So, like I said, I'm kind of excited how I am about that. And on some more good news, We Are Survivors is coming up on 2 years that we've been in existence. And Stephanie and I have done a lot of footwork. We've done a lot of events. We've been here. We are really the faces. We go out, we speak, we network. We do a lot of what appears to be to some people the fun stuff. Well, we have a team, too, that is behind us. We have a board of directors. And I'm excited to announce that we have a VP of fundraising and event planning. Her name is Jeanette Grizzoli. And I'm really excited about her simply because she's going to be the mouthpiece per se, for We Are Survivors. She's going to be the go-to person. She's going to be the one now working on our events and marketing materials and all the legalities that go behind We Are Survivors. She's really excited. She's really extremely nervous, and she's already overwhelmed. So I tell her, well, welcome to my world. A lot of people don't understand what goes into trying to not only build a nonprofit, but get it off the ground, maintain it, and run it. People just see the aftermath. They don't know what goes on and what goes into trying to get one of these organizations, a successful organization off the ground. So I'm really excited about her. She's really excited about us. I don't remember if I... We are officially, because I know I couldn't have said officially because I just got the certificate. We are officially in the state of Oklahoma. I received our certificate of authority from the Secretary of State of Oklahoma Tuesday. Yes, it was Tuesday. So we are officially in Texas and Oklahoma. So now we're learning the laws, learning the needs of another different state when we're still learning Dallas County. I wouldn't even say Texas. We're still trying to, you know, open doors and make a difference here in Dallas County, but God feels the need to stretch us is what I say. I feel like I'm on one of those old-time medieval things. They tie your arms and your legs and they turn and crank, and then you're being stretched from one end to the other. That's how I feel like God is doing We Are Survivors, because We Are Survivors is really growing. And when I say we're really growing, what we really need too is money. We need people to help financially support. We have a wonderful support team, but I think now we're really getting ready to focus on raising money. Because when I got that phone call from that police officer and I knew all the beds. I was just so thankful that the editor that I write for gave me the information about that or that this facility that's just opened, because I'm calling the police, use their resources, but he ran out of resources, and that's why he called me. I was just thankful to be able to have that tidbit of information. And that's why I say We Are Survivors is getting out there, because someone saw enough of me to email me that, say, hey, did you know about this? You need to network with these people. So it's really up to us as a community, us as a family, because for me, We Are Survivors, the people that are working behind the scenes, the people that are working in front of the scenes, we are considered a family. I don't think that it could be any other way. When we met last night, my goal was, and it's very different from a lot of organizations probably, and I know from companies I've worked with, to be transparent. God has told me that I have to be transparent. You all have to see me at my highs and see me at my lows. You have to see me when I'm laughing, and he made me show you all moments when I'm crying. So the people that I have around me, I need you all to be transparent. I need to know who's working with We Are Survivors. Something else, Stephanie, we came across and thought about yesterday was for everyone that is working within We Are Survivors to take a domestic violence class. It's an online class, and it's about $25. You get a certificate, and it just kind of educates you. We all, like I said, we're getting ready to not change directions, but change the way of doing business. So We Are Survivors, we're getting ready to get educated. We're getting ready to get certification, because we're getting ready to bring awareness. That was one thing when I sat down with Jeanette yesterday and we were talking, and she was the mission statement. She said, this is a beautiful mission vision. She said, but you just jumped straight to the transitional housing, the shelters. She's like, you know, we got to take baby steps, which, you know, never thought about that because we've been so focused on that's been our goal. This, we need a transitional home, short-term, long-term, and we need a facility, emergency placement facility. She was like, that's wonderful, but that's your long-term goal. What about your short-term goals? Never even thought about it because we've been focused on these facilities because we know that's what's needed. But We Are Survivors is going to start bringing, we have the radio show, we do, you know, articles, but now we're getting ready to have just mini events and bring awareness, whether it's putt-putt golf or spa day with some women or, you know, dinner, just little bitty groups to get people talking. Never even thought about it. So now we're in the process of actually, and I'm talking about our organization right now because we really need people to know what we're doing. The organization, we're going to be trying. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I just hadn't got a chance to bring it up to you on it, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we're getting ready to just focus. We Are Survivors. We get invited to a lot of events. I do a lot of speaking engagements. We've gone overseas. Overseas is coming to us. We're planning, you know, two huge 5K walks, one here in Texas, one in Oklahoma. But what we need to do is start spreading the word. We need to start having small, intimate settings and just talk and just learn other women, share stories. And then once that begins, it'll be like an avalanche because one person will go back and tell this other person and so on and so forth. So if we just start having little mini events, little small fundraising events, you invite someone out to dinner to let them know, hey, this is a fundraising dinner. You know, you can pay for your meal, but we're also going to be looking forward to maybe a donation. And right now, it could be, it could be a dollar, it could be $5, just something small. Because we've got to build. We've got to build financially. We are growing spiritually. God is bringing, I had a young lady, I talked to her Tuesday. She inboxed me and we exchanged phone numbers. And what she said to me was, I've been following We Are Survivors for over a year. She said, and I love what you all are doing. She said, I love the fact that you're out in the community. She said, you all are everywhere. You're everywhere. She said, and I love that. I want to be a part of that. Let me know what I need to do because I want to be a part of that. And for me, I was like, wow, okay, let's meet so we can talk. Because I'm praying for God to bring his children to me. We have two sponsors already for the conference, the international conference. And I've been praying about speakers because I'm responsible for getting the domestic speakers. Because our partner in Europe is handling the international speakers and entertainers. So We Are Survivors have to handle the entertainers and the speakers on the domestic side. So I'm praying for God to send me his speakers. I don't want to pick because, oh, I know this person or this person does this. I want God to say, no, this is who you need. And he has sent me one speaker already. And the thing about it is she actually inboxed me and said, Wanda, I am now ready to tell my story. She said, whenever you need me on whatever platform, just let me know. I turned over and I was like, thank you, God. That's my first speaker. And it's someone I would have never in a million years picked or thought about. And she's a business owner. And she's also a survivor. But We Are Survivors. We're just going to, like I said, we're not going to change direction. We're just going to change the way we've been doing business. We're going to reach out to the small groups and work our way out to the masses. We're reaching people. People are listening. People are following. People are watching. And we really, Stephanie, have no idea how we are affecting people. We have no idea who all is watching. And it amazes me when I do get someone that says, hey, I follow you, or hey, how can I help? And I've had quite a few of those people reach out to We Are Survivors. And I do want to thank everybody. And so I especially want to thank our board members, because now God is stretching us, because we're in this together. So God is stretching us, and like Jeanette said, we have so much going on that is unbelievable, but where's the financial support? And that's what we need. We are rebuilding our website. Stephanie, I'm still waiting on your bio and your picture. Gotta throw that out there. We are... I've only been asking for it for about a, it's been about a year now, but, you know, I'm going to keep asking until I get it. We are rebuilding our website to update it, get close to being current as possible, because right now what we have is outdated, way outdated. Because now we have people that are in position, that are not only in position, but now they're ready to work. Not only are they ready to work, but they're excited, they're nervous. And for me, nervousness means a lot to me. And I always hear in church, if a pastor gets up in front of his congregation and is not nervous, there's something wrong. That means he's in self. Because you should always be nervous when you step in front of God's people, when you're delivering a message, when you're on a mission, when you have a calling, when you have a purpose, when you're serving Him. You should always feel this nervousness. And that's a bad thing. This is really, for me, when I feel it, I just want to make sure I'm doing what He has of me, what He expects of me. That's my nervousness. And I know everybody else's nervousness might be something else. But when you're ministering to God's people, I always pray for the right things, the right words, the right body language, the right eye movement. I just pray that God, someone, hears what I have to say. Prime example, I was at an event Saturday. It was a cute little fifth-year anniversary celebration for Emily Blue and her Total Unlimited You organization that she has. And I had like an opportunity to get up and say what I do. And simply, I just went into why We Are Survivors was formed. So that's really a mouthful to all I have to say. I was walking outside to get something, and this woman, I don't know her name. I can't tell you what she had on. Can't even tell you what she looked like. But she hugged me, and she's emotional. And she said, I needed to hear that this evening. She said, God brought me here tonight because I needed to hear what you were going to say. And I could feel her spirit. My heart was racing. I told that woman, I said, I don't know what this energy is. I said, but you have my heart racing. I don't know that woman's name. We hugged for a minute, and then went separate ways. But that's when I say, when I open my mouth to say what God has me to say when it comes to We Are Survivors, I just pray that it hits somebody, just one person. Because if that one person can see, wow, she made it through all of that? She's doing all of this? Then maybe that one person can feel like they can do what they need to do in life to make it through, whatever that may be. It could be something small. It could be something big. But we just pray that every time, even when I know when Stephanie, when she gets up and when she speaks, I know she's praying for the same thing, that her words reach somebody, whoever that somebody may be, they hear it. That is the ultimate goal when I speak, is to touch somebody, touch someone, to make a difference in someone's life. We're doing that, but now We Are Survivors is really going to start focusing on We Are Survivors. And to say all of that, this weekend is going to be extremely, extremely busy. I will be a judge Saturday. Well, let me even back up. I have a number one book. I'm a co-author in an anthropology, and it has hit number one on Amazon's bestsellers list for women's motivational and inspirational category. And the book signing tour begins tomorrow here in Dallas, Friday and Saturday. And then it goes to New Orleans, and then it goes to Miami. I'm still deliberating if I'm going to make that Miami trip. But thank God it's here in Dallas first. It's Friday, starts Friday, and it's going to be Friday. It's just meet and greet, networking, workshops, the word test starts like it's 6. It is going to be at the Social Event Center, 106 East Freeman. It's in Duncanville, Texas, 75116. Again, that's the Social Event Center, 106 East Freeman. Duncanville, Texas, 75116. Saturday day from 1 to 5, there will be 20 speakers, authors. Well, each one of us will be speaking and networking, and that's from 1 to 5. And then Saturday night from 8 to 12, there is a gala. Live band, red carpet, guest speakers, award ceremony, and food. That's Saturday, Friday and Saturday. Then Saturday morning, there is a silver and gold pageant that We Are Survivors has been asked to be a guest judge. That is at the Brock Springs Library, which is 12450 Elam Road in Brock Springs. That begins at 11 o'clock. And just trying to see but that's really, I know it's to raise funds, but it's going to be a beauty pageant. And we're honored, like always, to be a part of anything that uplifts and empowers women. And feeling good about yourself, modeling, putting on pretty clothes. I've been in beauty pageants before. It's a lot of work, but it's also a wonderful experience. So We Are Survivors is excited once again to be asked to be a judge in that. Like I said, that is Saturday from 11, I think, until 3. And then Saturday, there is going to We Are Survivors has been invited to be part of a fashion show. Initially, I thought I was just going to support. Found out yesterday? Yes, yesterday. That I'm actually in it. Wow. But the fashion show It's going to be for first ladies. And it's private showing of Faith Diva, the newest collection for a woman of worship. And it is invitation only, but it's at it's in Bishop's Arts District. Get it out, Wanda. So we have that. That starts at, well, I have to be there at 4:30, but it starts at 6:30. So those are things that are going on, things that are happening for We Are Survivors just for this weekend alone. Just for this weekend alone. Let's see. Make sure I didn't miss anything for this weekend. If I did, oh well. It's too much. So that is what We Are Survivors, like I said, We Are Survivors is out in the community. We're getting phone calls. Can you be here? Can you be there? The bottom line is, we want, We Are Survivors, we want to have events and have people come out and support. That's what's really going to make a difference and really matter when it comes to us growing, when it comes to us being not only known in the community, but have the financial support. That's what we really need. We want to also, when I say we, it's We Are Survivors as a whole, want to really thank those that do support. Last week was North Texas Giving Day. So I want to thank those that did donate to We Are Survivors. We will get a printout of who donated what, so we will know. But I do want to thank those that did participate and those who actually gave to our organization. That is an annual thing, and there are certain criteria that you have to meet to be a nonprofit organization that's involved in that. You have to have good standings. Your IRS standings have to be current, and you have to be a 501c3. That also has to be in place, because most people may not know you can lose your 501c3 status. That is a privilege to have that. So I just want to thank those that did participate in the North Texas Giving last week. And as time goes on, I pray that those donations will even roll in, not just on that day, but throughout the year. Constantly, constantly, constantly coming through. It helps a lot of people. It helps. Like I said, when we get those phone calls and need somewhere for these people to go, we want to even start brainstorming, because the holidays are coming up. And it's going to be important to be able to help, even if it's one family. Last year, We Are Survivors actually donated 2 turkeys. We donated Thanksgiving dinner to a transitional home for pregnant women and children under the age of 6. So that's what we Are Survivors did last year for the holidays. Holidays are now coming around the corner. We need to come up with something that we're going to do this year. But like I said, even if it's, you know, just one family, We Are Survivors have to come up with something and do something when it comes to the holidays and helping people, because that's what we're in the business of, is helping people. And what else is coming down the line? October 8th, there is a health fair at Good Shepherd Church. I'll have more information on that next week. But I went to the one they had a few months ago, and it was a great turnout. people, have your blood drawn, get your spinal, how your spine is aligned, and how you walk, sit, make sure everything is properly in its place. So that was also a, what else do they have there? Mammograms. Trying to see. They had a lot of great vendors that was there that you could actually go see. So I'm looking forward to the health fair this, well, I should say this month. It's actually September, but the health fair that's coming up October 8th. There's also a walk this Saturday. Really, I should have, I'm going to have the information posted on my page because I was hoping she would send the information to me. But I haven't received it yet. I just know there's a walk. They're going to start walking now in support for breast cancer awareness as well, because not only is October for domestic violence, but it is also for breast cancer awareness. And that is something else, ladies, that we need to make sure we are checking ourselves like we should. But next month I'll have some tidbit information, like I said, about domestic violence. And I always do include breast cancer awareness. Is it something that we really do need to stay on top of is our health. That's important. I want to talk about, I always talk about survivor stories, rather someone on doing a verbal, or is it, or me reading. I think it's important to read survivor stories so people could hear about how others made it through, how others used what they went through and how they changed it around, turned it around for their good. I want to read a survivor story. About a male, which is something that I know a lot of men don't talk about because they are ashamed. We have a Sweeten, who is our male leader in our group. He actually talks to men. He actually talks to, you know, children. And he's very compelling, very emotional. And he's just a great guy all the way around. Him and his wife have an awesome testimony. And I just thank him for being a part of We Are Survivors and taking the time out to worship with us, to talk with us, to share with us, to be transparent. A lot of people don't understand. It's really hard to be transparent. It's really hard to acknowledge that someone violated you in whatever capacity that may be. It takes a lot of courage to say, I was hurt or I was abused. It takes a lot of strength to be able to stand up to your abuser. It takes a lot of emotional, and I know I'm going to read a story where that brought me to something that happened personally in my life. And like I said, I'm going to always be transparent. And I'm going to always let people know what's going on simply because that's what God told me to do. And my father, my biological father, is, of course, denying what he did. But now he's trying to badmouth me and call me a liar. He's not doing it, I would say, out in the open. He's doing it amongst my sister, because that's the only family member that seems to be talking to my father, because he's not talking to anyone else that supports me. But now he's coming up with all of these crazy antics and trying to cause a rift. And I simply will not allow my father to abuse me again. And if I allow what he's saying, if I allow that to resonate within me, it'll cause me more hurt and more pain, because I don't understand. I don't understand how a man who had 50% to do with why I'm here from the beginning can hurt me. I don't understand how a man that I looked up to, that called me his number one daughter, who I loved, could hurt me. I don't understand what I did to deserve a grown man to look at me and see a woman. I don't understand how can you try and make someone believe that what I'm saying is made up, it's not true, it's a lie. I don't understand why people would find it easier to believe him than me. I don't understand. Why would I, me, can only speak for me, myself, Wanda, why would I make something up like that? How could I sit and vividly draw these pictures in my head if they did not happen? I don't understand. How could another human being manipulate a young child? How does a grown man take it upon themselves to treat a child as if they're grown? I don't understand how you can do something to me or her or him and say it's their fault. They asked for it. They should have known better. They didn't stop me. I don't understand how an adult can think that behavior is okay. I don't understand what makes you, Daddy, touch me inappropriately. I don't understand what makes a father want to lay his daughter down and penetrate her. I don't understand what I did to deserve being slept with, but not only my biological father, but my stepfather. I don't understand. I didn't understand how my mother could just allow it to happen. Not once, not twice, not three times. Mom, I don't understand. I don't understand how you could choose your men over me. I don't understand why their words mattered more than mine. I don't understand why everybody else gets to go on with their lives as if nothing happened but me. I don't understand why you thought in the first place that that was going to be all right. I don't understand why you thought making love to me was a right decision. I don't understand why I lay at night in the bed crying myself to sleep while you roll over and look at your wife and have sweet nothing to think about, to dream about, how your life goes on. I don't understand why society sees me as the bad one, the nasty one, the tainted one, the one that should be ashamed. I don't understand why society doesn't look at the abuser as the person that needs to be shamed, as the person that is nasty and dirty and filthy. I don't understand how everyone's thought process is so backwards. I don't understand, because I just want, hey, emotionally, I just want to be okay physically. I just want to be okay mentally. I just want to be okay sexually. I just want to be okay. I don't understand why that's not so. I don't understand why a psychiatrist or a psychologist opens up their book and think they're going to sit in a chair and write down notes and it's going to solve my problems, when you can't even tell me how I really feel. I don't understand why when I say what I say, when I talk to people regarding my story and I get hugs and I get kisses and I get I'm sorry, I don't understand why, because I don't want I'm sorry. I want, wow, you made it. Wow, you were able to talk about it. Wow, you are a very strong and powerful woman. That's what I want. I don't want I'm sorry. I don't understand. How could you be? For you have never walked directly in my shoes. I don't understand how people that are supposed to be your friends, people that say I love you, people that say I have your back, I don't understand when you come out and tell your story, your truth, your pain, your hurt, your tears, your crying, and the next thing I know is I'm a liar. I don't understand. How could you call yourself my friend, yet when I need you the most, you turn your back? I don't understand how that it's so possible to love someone, to be in someone's face, to be in someone's home, to be in someone's personal space and presence, and yet and still, when they peel back their layers and they say, hey, this happened to me, and you say, no, it didn't. I don't understand how then when I look and reevaluate this thing called friendship, when I step back away from it and realize, oh, it was just me that felt that way, I don't understand how you don't understand my actions. I don't understand how you don't understand why I've changed. But God, I don't understand how people judge me, how people see what they want to see, when I'm being open and honest, when I am being transparent. I don't understand how you can't see and feel my pain and know that it's truthful. I don't understand. But now that God is showing me why my life was the way it was, I understand. I understand that I had to go through what I went through so that I can help others. I understand now I am chosen to stand in front of God's people and say, hey, this happened to me, and it's okay. I now understand that I'm an example of what God can do. I am an example of healing. I am an example of growth. Now I understand why I went through my father molesting me and then escalating to raping me. Now I understand why my stepfather felt the need to take my virginity and continuously rape me until I was 18. Now I understand why I had to marry a man that physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, and financially abused me. Now I understand that I had to go through what I went through for being raped by a schoolmate, for me being touched by uncles and cousins. Now I understand, because I can tell that young lady that was raped by her dad, I understand. I feel your pain. I know what you're going through. Now I understand that I can tell that young lady that her stepfather, who has raped her or touched her inappropriately, now I can tell her, I understand. I was once you. Now I understand that I can talk to a young lady, a young girl, teenager and younger, and say, hey, I know what it feels like to be touched. I understand now, because I can talk to that wife that loves her husband and is trying to keep their family together and overlooked so many flags. I understand. I can tell her I understand how you feel when his phone vibrates or his phone rings and he doesn't answer it or he doesn't look at it. I understand how it feels to get permission to buy even a small thing like a pack of gum. I understand. I understand how it feels to be slapped. I understand. I know how it feels to have your eardrum busted. I understand how it feels to say, no, I'm not in the mood, but it doesn't matter to him. He still wants to have sex. I understand. I understand now why these things and so many other things occur and happen to me. I understand. Because God chose me through, and he protected me throughout those 24 consecutive years of abuse. I didn't have downtime. I didn't have intermission. I didn't have breaks. I didn't have halftime. I didn't have any of that. It was consecutive. 24. And 7 years of age really is the age that I can remember. So I don't even know if I was younger. All I can tell you is it started at 7. And if Lord, my God, drops into my spirit and my memory that it was younger than that, then I'll correct myself. But now I do. I understand why God chose me to be on this journey that has me emotionally crazy, that has me up and down, sad and happy, mad and angry, joyful, and at peace at times. Now I understand that this is something that I must do, something that I have to do. I don't have a choice. Now I understand that I had to go through what I went through in order to help others that have or may still be walking in my shoes. Now I understand why God chose me to endure so much pain, even though at the time it was going on, I didn't feel anything until now. But I understand. Now I can handle it. Now is the right time. Now I'm going to allow myself to be an open book, to be able to talk to victims, survivors, and those that are in between. For you to understand that our Lord and Savior Christ is there to help, is there just waiting for you to say the word, to say his name, just call him. Now I understand that I must lead his people to him, because I'm an example of what God can do. I'm an example of trusting, leaning on him, what he can do for you. I'm that example. I'm that chosen one. I'm that little girl when I didn't know it, when my father was raping me and my stepfather was raping me, God still was there. And he protected me. Because I didn't know at the time what was happening to me was wrong. Many years it took, but now I understand. And I know I was supposed to read a story, but that just, for some reason, wow. Huh? Amazing. I want to thank you all for listening today. thank you all for listening. Thank you all for supporting We Are Survivors. Thank you all for being there, be it spiritually, financially, physically, however it is that you all support We Are Survivors. We thank you. There's nothing that you cannot do that's considered too small. We just appreciate whatever it is that you do. And today, it just, you know, if you feel free to contact me or Stephanie with comments or survivor stories, the number is 214-454-2933. Stephanie's is 817-320-2571. Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. I want to thank God for you listening, and I pray that today on the show something was said that touches your heart. We are always here to help, to support, to guide, to listen, and to lift you up in the name of Jesus. We worship his holy name. God bless everyone. Good night.